You know, there was these two guys that were having a conversation one day, and one guy's name was Mark, and he was a collector of rare books, and he was talking to his friend Arnold. And Arnold was telling him that he'd just thrown away an old Bible that he found in this dusty old box. And he said it happened to be written by some Guten somebody or another who printed it. And Henry said, "Not Gutenberg, was it?" And Henry said, yeah, that's him, that's him. And he said, "Oh my gosh, you just threw away one of the first books that was ever printed." And he said, "And it sold at an auction for $500,000. Well, Arnold said, "Oh, don't worry about that." He said, "That book was old, and I don't think it was worth much, and it wasn't in really good shape. And anyway, by the way, it had scribbles all over the margins by this guy by the name of Martin Luther." Now, why do I bring up a story about Martin Luther? Well, this month, towards the end of the month, we'll be celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And Martin Luther was convinced that there needed to be some changes in the church. And he nailed on a church door his 95 theses. But I can't help but wonder, as Martin Luther was banging this on the door, if he had some fear or anxiety or worry of what was going to happen to him. But he didn't let fear overtake him. He let his confidence in God take over. And you know, each and every one of us, and I don't want to say every day, but I think it's a common occurrence that we deal with the fear of something, a worry of something, an anxiety of something. So today we're going to start the second part of the series, Overcoming Fear. So I want to start off with, what are you fearful, worrying about, or anxious about? And maybe those issues, those fears, have nothing to do with the day-to-day basis, but maybe they have to do with your children or your economy, with the economy. And whatever your fear is, Jesus has a clear word for you this morning, and it's confidence. Be confident in our Lord to do what he says he's going to do. So I want everyone to say the word confidence at the count of three. You too in Facebook land. One, two, three. Confidence. So when the worries of life start to take you over, be confident as a child of God that everything is under control. See, if we allow our worries, if we worry, if we allow our fears and our anxieties to take us over, it starts to cast this long shadow on our lives. And then it becomes real personal, and it can just paralyze us if we allow it to. But Paul wrote something to the Philippians that we're going to look at in Scripture here in a moment. Because he knew they were fearful, he knew they had anxieties, and he knew they had worries, but he was telling them in this scripture to be confident and to be joyful. And he could write that because Paul wasn't sitting on the beaches of Florida enjoying a nice iced tea. Now, not Long Island iced tea, granted, now. But a nice iced tea and the weather's perfect, getting a suntan. No, Paul was in prison at this time when he wrote to them. So he wasn't having this pie-in-the-sky experience. And what he was doing was sharing a reality that he was having as well for his children. And he was telling, not his children, God's children, but he was telling them, don't worry. Now, you might be saying, you know what, Anthony, it's easy for you to say, but you don't know what's going on in my life. And you're right, I don't, but God does. And God wants to give you a command, and God wants to show you how to act on that command so then you don't have to be fearful, worrisome, or full of anxiety. So let's go to Scripture. In Facebook land, we're going to be on Philippians 4:4-9. And let's read it together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You know what the definition of fear is? Total opposite of what that is. But Webster says, to be afraid of or expect with alarm, fear the worst. The average person, how many of you think you're average? Oh, come on now, can't be just 10 of you. How many of you think you're average? All right, there you go. That's about 99% of you. The average person is focused on 40% of things that will never happen, 30 of the things about the past that you can't change, 12% of things relating to the criticism by others, mostly untrue, 10% is about health, which gets worse when you start stressing over things. And only 8% is about the real problems that we face. So 92% of what an average person fears, gets anxious about, is nervous about, doesn't happen, or we don't have any control over it. See, fear, anxiety, worry interferes with our sleep, disrupts our concentration, and it hinders productivity. But as children of God, and every single one of us is a child of God, doesn't have to allow that destructive behavior of emotions to affect or control your life. And even the believers, the ones that give their life over to Christ, the ones that say, I'm going to totally trust you, God, with my life because you're my Lord and Savior. We even live through painful circumstances. But we need to know that through those experiences, we could find peace that goes beyond our human comprehension because God is in control. So let's look at what is the nature of fear, anxiety, worry. And that emotion could be just summed up in this thing called an overwhelming sense of tension that divides our mind and our thoughts, and it fragments it all. But the Bible, and we see a great scripture here this morning, that teaches us to avoid letting worry take over our lives. Because we saw in verses 6 and 7, be anxious for what? What did it say? Nothing. Nothing at all. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, give thanksgiving and let your requests be known to God. It didn't say worry really bad when the doctor tells you you have cancer. It doesn't say worry really bad when a hurricane is going to come through Spring Hill and we're in the eye of the storm. Hint, 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 like a couple of weeks ago. But our scripture this morning says, be anxious for nothing, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So the first thing, if you're following with the outline in the back, is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. So why is it important that we learn to deal with anxiety? Because as I mentioned just a little while ago, fear, anxiety, worries, all of that disrupts our thought. So we can't make clear and we can't make wise decisions if we're worried about something. And it starts to take us over. And our production starts to decrease. And we start wasting our time and our energy. See, so staying in front of video games for 8 and 10 hours a day is not the only way we could just waste our time and our energy. You know, I have this little guy here. Can everybody see him? You can't see him? If you guys promise to give this back to me, it has special meaning, I'll pass it around the congregation. This little guy's the Blurch. And this guy wrote this book about the Blurch, and my son Anthony and I ran a half marathon that was called Beat the Blurch. And the book, I think, is something, I don't know, about running. But anyway, and, you know, this guy just is supposed to, like, be that guy to tell you to eat unhealthy, you know, worry about everything, sit on the couch, don't exercise, don't do anything. Hey, I'll pass it around. So please, it's important because this is symbolic of something that my son and I has done together. So, you know, the Blurch is there in the book and in the race and stuff telling us you don't need to do these healthy things. You don't need to do the things that are right. But, you know, worry about stuff, you know. And that's what we do. Don't we? We allow things. We allow outside sources. We allow even our own minds to kind of play tricks on us to build fear and anxiety and things that we don't really need to worry about. Each and every one of us has that little Blurch inside of us to take us away from God. And you know, the book calls it Blurch, but I got a different name for Blurch, and his name is Satan. He's the one that wants to tell you, worry about this, fear this. But God is saying what? As we see in 6 and 7, be anxious about nothing. Fear disrupts our relationships with our families, our friends, our coworkers, and then those relationships start to suffer. And it also indicates a lack of trust in our Lord and Savior. And it's a proven fact. Fear contributes to a host of health problems. So how can we have victory over worry, fear, anxiety? And this is the second thing on your outline. Pray for all things. And it's how we pray. The scripture this morning tells us how to do that. We need to pray for every kind of circumstance and every situation. If we look at Philippians 6 again, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your mind in Christ. But instead of just focusing on these lists of requests that we want to give to God, we should seek to praise Him and give Him thanks. See, God already knows what we need, and He has the power to supply Him. Yes, be specific. Have you ever prayed something, and you weren't really specific, and you kind of got what you wanted, and you prayed for it? It's like, well, that isn't exactly the way I prayed about it. Be specific in your prayer, but also, don't make it just all about you. Put your prayers out for others that are hurting. Coworkers, friends, family. Intercede. In other words, go to prayer to God on their behalf. You know, we all assume that everybody prays, but that's not a true statement. So pray for other people. The word supplication means that passionate outpouring of the heart. So not just a two-second prayer to the Lord, but spend time with them. Just pour your heart out to them. Give them the good things. Give them the specific things you need. Pray for people that you know, even a world that we don't know. We got part of our country getting hit with another hurricane. We don't know any of them, but I guarantee you they could use our prayer. Psalm 34, 17 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them from all trouble. See, it has to be more than just lip service, something that we do because we think we need to or we've been taught to do that. And as Christians, we need to then trust God to answer those prayers that we give him. And you know what? When God doesn't answer those prayers immediately, or when God says no to us, we should still be grateful for the things that we have and thankful for whatever health that we have or whatever. And when we take our worries and our fears and our anxieties to God in prayer, not only does Scripture tell us that our hearts will be safe, but our minds will be protected as well. And I don't know about you, that's good news because my mind constantly wanders here, there, and everywhere else on different things that I like to do and accomplish. And it's awesome to know that God will protect me as long as I continue to focus on him and pray with him. And the next thing is what we need to learn from this scripture is how do we think? And that's a third thing that's on your outline if you're following. Right thinking leads to right living, which leads to peace. See, our thoughts directly affect how fearful we're going to be, how anxious we're going to be, how we're going to worry about a situation. But when we dwell on the good things of life, instead of worrying what the future is going to bring, and just try to focus on our Lord and trust him, we will have peace through all understanding. If we seek his will and his goals and our life purpose for today, tomorrow, and the future, when we put our life in God's hand and trust him and don't be fearful for anything, our life will go so much smoother. And as children of God, I want to tell you, we are still going to face hardships. But God can give us that superhuman peace in the midst of whatever suffering that you're going through. And how does he do that? By how we live. Philippians 9, the last verse that we read, said, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these, and the God of peace will be with you. Those who constantly want to do things their way and not God's way will never experience a lasting peace. They might get peace for a minute or for a day or even for a week, but they won't experience that lasting peace. Matthew 7:23 says this, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, people mask their fears in many different ways. Sometimes it's with drugs. Sometimes it's with alcohol. Sometimes it's overloading with work or other distractions. And you know, when we start to do that, we start to be very anxious about everything and we become fearful to include our eternal future. How often do I hear that, I'm a Christian and everything, but I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Well, if you gave your life over to Christ, you're going to heaven. But what happens is fear and Satan tries to tell you and distract you from that life here on this earth and here for eternity. So we need to be obedient to God's word when it says do not fear for anything. Doing things God's way is essential in winning over the fears that you have, the anxieties you have, and the worries that you have. And on the opposite, doing things your way, me doing things my way all the time, without focusing on God or not making sure that God's in the midst of it, that's a surefire way of creating havoc, stress, and worry. So this morning, as I end the service, end the sermon part, and if the praise band wants to start to come on up, commit your worries, your fears, your anxieties to God. Meditate on the truthfulness and the righteous things, and give control of your life over to God. The Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, will give you grace to overcome any any anxiety that you have. Yeah, you're still going to experience heartache, pain, and difficulty because that's the fallen world that we live in. But let's listen to the words of Paul. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I am to be content. Be content in whatever state you're in and trust the Lord and Savior to give you that peace through all understanding, no matter what storm you're going through.